It's June 5th, 2016. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
Oh, I'll fix that in post.
Love it.
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 368, and welcome to Pride Month! Yay!
Okay, got it.
That we're really proud
of. Is that enough? What have you done today?
Oh, wow. Let's find out.
Proud.
Oh, let's find out what's been going on. Due to that, it's been over almost a year since Hellfire Citadel came out. We've beat Mythic Archimonde. We basically finished the game of World of Warcraft. And a really good friend of our raid leader died recently. My guild is taking a raiding break, which means some people are abandoning us for other guilds to continue raiding. But that's fine. We understand.
All right, yeah, I got a question. Who died?
A good friend of our raid leader.
Oh. Yeah. A friend of your raid leader. Okay.
No, not the raid leader. A friend of the raid leader.
That's what I thought you said. And I was like, wait, you just kind of like went straight past that. Hello?
I know. It's actually pretty sad. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, but when I saw the note, it was really sad.
And so it's
been difficult for him, and since we've been having some attendance issues. The attendance boss is now defeating our team, so we're pretty much just taking a break from raiding until the pre-patch before the next expansion launches, and then we'll be working on rebuilding. So that's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. How are you? It also means that I'm almost done with goal number 352 or something like that of this expansion for me, which is getting all 22 of my tunes, one of each class and of each faction, a legendary ring. I need one tome for one and like six for another, so I should be able to get it this next week. Actually, this past week, timey-wimey. So I'll be getting that part done, and then it's just about, you know, building up gold storage for the next expansion. So making sure that I've got plenty of gold, because I've had more gold than I've ever had before because of this expansion and garrison gold missions. So it'll be pretty interesting.
There's gold and then their storages, I guess. I don't know.
So, but that's right. Also, because we're not really raiding anymore, and I just have these like little goals left to do in World of Warcraft, I've actually started playing Mass Effect, the BioWare game, the original Mass Effect, because I'm one of those people who just kind of want to play a game more for the story than for the game. I'm using a walkthrough. And trying to just get all these little tidbits done. I kind of have no idea what I'm doing, but that's okay. Yeah. It will walk me through. And
there you go. It'll
be taken care of. So, yes, all my stuff is about gaming-related stuff. Also, three-day weekend last week. Yay! I'm off tomorrow. Actually, last Monday. But that also means I don't get paid. But at least I got been getting a little bit of overtime here and there over the last couple months. So I should be fine. Oh, also, I finally saw Civil War.
Ah,
which
good.
We'll probably be talking about a little bit later here.
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Damon, what's been going on with you?
What has been going on with me? Ultimately, for me, I've been keeping busy / lazy. Okay, so let me explain. So, work has been busy like super fucking busy. Like, I don't like being behind, and I'm behind like by a week, and that pisses me off. Like, normally for the holiday, we can leave a couple of hours early, and also we're doing summer hours at work, so we can technically leave at 1. I decided to leave 2 hours early. I came in early on Friday and still was behind. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm glad we have this weekend, because on the flip side of that, I'm doing nothing. Like, I am keeping myself lazy. I was like, okay, what needs to be done? Oh, there's stuff that needs to be done, but you know what? I don't feel like doing it. You know, I'm actually got up today and had brunch with the partner, and then he's off running errands, and I am on the show. And yes, I am technically washing clothes, but the only reason I'm washing clothes is because I won't have any if I don't. So, I'm kind of like, I'm keeping myself busy because of work and chorus and all of that shit, but also be totally fucking lazy because, yeah, I'm work is keeping me too fucking busy to really do too much. So when I get home, I'm kind of done.
And the nice thing about doing laundry, what is all doing laundry is put the laundry into the machine, start it up.
Yep.
Then take it out of the machine, put it in the dryer, start it up.
Yep.
The hard part comes to take it out of the machine, fold it, and put it away.
Yes. So right now, that's sort of the case. Like, there's a load in the washer, there's a load in the dryer, there's a load waiting to be washed, and there's some more clothes upstairs that I'm not sure if I'm going to get to or not. I'm kind of on the fence about it, because I'm I get it done, but I'm also like, fuck it. You know,
I don't want to fold it. So there's got to be a
Exactly. So keeping myself busy and being lazy at the same time is a good thing to me. I think it works.
Yeah.
Gary?
Damon, that's a lot of loads. I'm just
giggles.
Ha ha.
But I know you can handle them.
Yes.
Or so I've heard. Yes,
Ho.
Uh-huh.
Hot meat kettle. That's all I got to say.
I'm just going to sip my tea.
There you go. Good one, Gary. Who went after?
So, I am adulting.
Yay!
Gasp.
I know. I got a bug up my butt the other day about... What started it? Oh, Memorial Day holiday weekend is kind of, or at least around here, usually a, hey, there's a great opportunity for you to celebrate our country by coming and spending money. Be commercial, because we have sales.
Yeah. Yes.
And
shopping!
Yeah, well, give a little bit of background. When I stopped working seasonally at the resort, Campground Resort, I stayed in Erie and was sharing a house with my former roommate. It was his house. And he gave me a used mattress and box springs, which I don't know how long it had been, you know, that he had possessed it, but then I had it for the years that I was with living with him, and then I moved out on my own. So the set that I have is at least, I'm going to go on a gander of at least 10 years old, if not more. So my mother made a comment to me in the past year about, she's like, why don't you just get a new bed set? And I'm like, So fast forward to sale, come save money, blah, blah, blah. So it started me thinking about, like, do I want to get a mattress and box springs, or, you know, maybe not. And then the weather got warm and I got really irritated because the foam topper I have on my mattress does not have any of the cooling technology in it. Mm-hmm. So it gets really warm and very annoying, and you kind of get sweaty being in bed, but you're all by yourself and not for good reasons. So I said, maybe I should look into this further. And then that started me down the rabbit hole of Google. And I was like, oh, but then, you know, what about a new bedroom set? You know, like a frame and a dresser and nightstands. And yeah, it got crazy. So I backed out of all of that and decided on getting a bed frame with a headboard and a footboard. Just so everyone's aware, I have a bed frame. I just don't have like a headboard or a footboard or anything, which probably makes me look like I'm still living in a dorm, but I don't care. It's just one of those things. I decided to purchase a bed frame online, and then yesterday I went to the furniture store that was having a big sale and used some more of the credit I had with them, and I bought myself a new mattress and box springs to be delivered at a later time when I'm ready.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm adulting. I'm, you know, buying my own stuff, so to speak, as opposed to hand me down or borrowed or that kind of thing.
You'll feel good in a clean bed.
Well, yeah, we'll see. And then the other thing that got weird is I was like, I'm sitting here in the office while we're recording the show, and I thought to myself, you know, 4 years ago, you moved into this place, and the whole point of this being the office was because it had more square footage, it was going to be exclusive space, you'd be able to write off on your taxes because you work from home, blah, blah, blah. And then I found out I couldn't do that. So I never really reconsidered it. And then this year I was like, you know, you could switch and make the smaller bedroom the office and make the bigger room the actual bedroom, like it's supposed to be. So I'm toying with that idea, but that means I've got to go through everything here in the office, like the closet, which is full of stuff, and, you know, that probably needs to be shredded and sorted and trashed and donated and all that crap and things. So I think I made a project for myself that I wasn't planning on.
You gotta have goals.
Something like that.
Yeah. Sounds like we're gonna wrap that up. Let's go right into the V-Bag. Gary, what's been going on over in Facebook?
Facebook. Feedback from... We posted a happy birthday note for Fiery Biscuits. And RJ said, aw, he looks so different with a beard.
Oh, shenanigans.
Well, he does. Looks,
yes.
True. He looks great with a beard. Now, we're seeing his nice little trim beard in the picture that we had. Yeah. So definitely check out Fiery Biscuits with his bigger, bushier beard. He's still adorable.
Yes. I saw that it was his birthday, and I was like, oh, we should probably put something up on the group. And I didn't want to use his profile picture on Facebook because I like it, but I don't love it. Like, it seems a little bit more somber for the occasion. So I felt, let me just find one picture that, you know, of him that I could share. And there we go. That was the picture, and it was a really good one, I think.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yay.
So I will say that the picture that we posted is probably one of my favorite pictures or looks of Fiery Biscuits. Mm-hmm. I kind of talked about it in the last episode or two episodes ago that he did a film, and I couldn't really bring myself to watch the film because he was clean shaven and it was just bugging the hell out of me. And it's nothing against him. I think he's you know,
he's still cute.
Gorgeous and cute, but I was like,
we just prefer the beard. No. That's the only difference.
But also, this one notably that we picked, it's trimmed, so it's cleaned up. And it's a thing that I've recently come across. I don't like in-between beards. I don't know
how to say it.
I like beards that are well crafted and cared for, like, and taken care of and grown out, kind of, or short, trimmed, taken care of. But this in-between, I don't know what else to call it, is going to be a horrible reference, hipstery, I'm just going to grow it out big, bushy, like wild, crazy. Just going to say. So, which is weird to say because right now I've been sort of growing mine longer, which is strange. But I keep like trying to brush it every day and comb it and, you know, put product in it and seeing if it's going to turn into something or not. So I don't think I'm going to grow it real long because Lord knows it's getting hotter and I don't know if my face can take it. So
maybe you see about going to a goatee or something, maybe.
I usually do a goatee in the summer, but I don't know. I've kind of gotten to having a beard, probably because it's very minimal shaving.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, or do what I do, where whenever I convert to beard or convert to goatee, is just I just trim really, really short the sides. So it's kind of like a pseudo goatee slash beard. It's kind of multi-level.
It's so great that you guys have options.
Are you seriously going there?
Yes, I am. I'm not. Yeah, Dick Matty. So awesome.
Hashtag putting us in our place.
Yes. Hashtag
shade.
Yep. Like some of that shade. I think, let me. Oh, wait, you get some from your beard.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Ah.
All right, okay. Continuing on with the feedback. On the same post, I'm going to butcher this name. T.O. de Wanamias? I apologize, T.O. And hopefully it's T.O. Or else I'm getting it wrong, too. Anyways, he said I should go to IHOP more often because Fiery Biscuits apparently was in IHOP when the picture was taken. So I think they were inferring that if you go to IHOP, you'll find Fiery Biscuits. I don't know. I was kind of like, I don't think that's how that works.
What?
Just yeah, so you know, I was going to save that for another show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
How about the other one?
No, you can do that. So okay. Everyone's listening is like, what the hell's going on? So for those of you that aren't aware, we use a Google Doc in the cloud, and it's live, and Jeff's typing things, and I'm like, yeah. The one I wanted to say for someone else, and I apologize, I didn't tell you guys, so. But that one, oh, yeah, this is, and Damon, did you see this?
Damon is actually currently offline. We're trying to get him connected.
Oh.
Yeah, he's, for some reason, dropped from the call. So we're experiencing technical difficulties.
See, and it's funny because I'm the one that I thought would have problems because all morning long my internet kept cutting in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was afraid that this show was going to be the shitty one on my end. All right, so while we wait for... Ooh, that was just very nice to do on a podcast. My apologies.
That's all right. I barely heard anything. So that's didn't hear anything besides kind of a pause. So anyways.
All right. So we got a comment, which is actually a link to a YouTube video, Axe Body Spray, or the Axe Men's Care Line. I guess that's what it is. It's not just body sprays. They have like shampoos and conditioners and I don't know, anything. AJ Lewis, who commented a bunch when we were doing Tea Time, the Drag Race show, let us know by putting in this YouTube clip that the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, spoiler alert, Bob the Drag Queen, is actually in the commercial as Bob the Drag Queen. So they took a pre-existing commercial and then they cut in and did a voiceover and they're talking about, you know, the different type of men that there are. And then it said, I think it said winning a contest, and it shows Bob the Drag Queen with the scepter in the crowd. I was like, whoa, nice. That's incredibly progressive and unexpected.
So, still, Damon is offline. Maybe his internet went down. So,
his Wi-Fi went down, he said. Rude. Well, while we're waiting for him, moving on, Twitter, Charles S. Yet again commented, I think he comments pretty much on,
he's basically tweets whenever he's listening to a new podcast, it seems like, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So maybe you can find new podcasts by following him on Twitter.
That's true. Very true. Mm-hmm. So he said, enjoying at Cubs Out Loud podcast episode 366, starring Pilfs, Jeff, Damon, and Gary. And I take that as podcasters. I'd like to fondle.
Yeah. I'm sure it could also mean that he wants to fuck, but still.
Maybe.
Anyways, we must be very fuckable podcast hosts. In addition, we got an email from RJ saying great podcast as always in regards to the Elf episode. Great podcast as always, and lots of great choices on Bears, Cubs, and Daddies. Hope you guys are doing well. Huge hugs. So he really likes the stuff. So, update on Damon. His entire internet went out down.
That is so not cool.
Yeah, that's totally not cool. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for his internet to hopefully come back up, let's go into this. It's Urban Dictionary with Gary.
All right. Because of the nature or the theme of this particular show, this Urban Dictionary phrase is movie ruin, as in R-U-I-N, not rune, R-U-N-E. So movie ruin has two definitions. First one is as a verb, to tell someone what is going to happen in a movie or on the next episode of a show, which is very like, boo, don't do that, you know. It's otherwise,
spoilers. Kind of,
yeah, exactly. And the second one is, as a verb, to accidentally see a preview for the next episode of a TV show. I don't know why they said TV show. Well, next episode of TV show. I'm imagining you could also say accidentally see a preview for a movie.
Or a trailer that you don't want to see because you don't want to spoil anything.
Correct.
That's understandable.
Yeah. So, and then the little example they have is, yo, I heard Charlie is supposed to die in the next episode, said Josh. Why must you movie ruin? Cried Danny. Because Danny's a crybaby, apparently. I don't understand that, but yeah.
Yeah. I think why must you movie ruin can be replaced by one freaking word. Spoilers. Jesus Christ. Some of these Urban Dictionary things, it's like, guys, that's not really cool. So we're actually going to take a pause, and hopefully we'll be right back, and hopefully with Damon, because for our topic, we'd like to have his opinion too. And we're back. This time we have Damon on his phone using Skype.
So yay. Welcome back.
So in order to reduce how much data we use here, we're going to try to go through this next weekly topic, which it's time for the summer movie season. Yay!
Yay! Oy vey. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gary, are you back? Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just want to make sure. I haven't heard from you, so I just want to make sure everyone's here. So already released, we've got two films already. This first movie, I believe Gary has seen this, right?
No.
You have not seen the first movie?
I have not seen any of the movies.
Oh, really? Okay. So I'm the only one who's seen Captain America Civil War. Damon, have you seen that?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay. Okay, so first off, Captain America Civil War. We have a full, by the way, we have a full trailer playlist. Basically, I just put into Google the title and hit like view trailer and put that into a playlist. So some of them are more like teasers, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So you can go to youtube.com/cubsoutloud and go in there so you can see all the trailers. You can just, you know, hit play all and just watch them all together. I recommend doing it on your TV if you can, like Apple TV or Chromecast or something. So check that out. So Captain America Civil War, guys, were you really excited about this? Did you want to see this?
I personally was kind of in the middle about it. I know from the common perspective what the Civil War was, and this is definitely not it in a mm-hmm. in a sense, at least what I got from the trailer. This is definitely not it. This is a different situation overall. But I'm kind of I want to see it just because I want to see what they've done with it. Because once again, it's Marvel Cinematic Universe, blah blah blah, kind of thing. So I want to see what they did just for the sake of seeing what they do, but I don't want it to be. I'm going to try to go in with a more open mindset about it.
Basically, just complete about the Civil War you know from the comics. Yeah. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is nothing to do with the comics. So just keep those two worlds separate. You'll probably be okay.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Go ahead.
Like I said before on the show, I'm not a big comic book person. So conceptually, I think this one is probably the one I'm the most interested in. So I might catch it like on Netflix someday or whatever, just purely from the standpoint of I think it takes it into reality with the concept of, hey, superheroes cause a lot of fucking damage. So maybe we should try to do something about that. So,
yeah.
That's the only thing out of the trailer that I got that I was like, oh, all right. So weirdly, all the superheroes are on like two sides of an issue, apparently. Like either we should be held accountable and like contained and not imprisoned per se, but, you know, like tracked or whatever. And I only know what little bit I can connect out of that to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, which I've enjoyed. Because it takes place in the same universe, so there's like a like kind of a crossover connection thing that they sort of do, and yeah, so I'm like, all right, well, you know.
Yeah, now I will tell you this: really, this is definitely not the comic book Civil War. It is very much the cinematic universe Civil War, and it's really a continuation from Winter Soldier. Which makes me understand a little bit about why it's a Captain America movie and not an Avengers Civil War movie.
True.
Even though it's pretty much an Avengers movie because, like, everybody's there.
Yeah.
Also, this Spider-Man is I think he's going to take some getting used to, but I kind of like what they did with Spider-Man in this movie. And I'm glad to see Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm really glad that Sony and Marvel kind of got this together. And it's not like huge, big groups of people. Civil War, it's almost like 5-on-5 almost. Is it 5-6? Something like that. But it's good to see Ant-Man in there. I actually really, really enjoyed the movie. It wasn't spectacular or anything, but I did enjoy. I'm glad I did get to see it in theater and have 3 Austin Ampers and a pizza to go along with it. God bless the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, now I understood what you said. When you said 3 Austin Ambers, I thought Austin Amber was a superhero character I never heard of that makes an appearance in the movie and has the ability to for cloning. And then you said, and a pizza. And I was like, what? I was like, is that like shawarma? I don't even understand.
No. Austin Amber is a beer.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I recommend it. And I could totally see just waiting for seeing it on Netflix or something. Instead of seeing it in the theaters, but I really enjoyed myself going to see it. Although right at the end, it's like, I would like to wait for the entire credits, but I really need to pee. So I got the mid credit teaser, but I'm not sure if there was one like at the very, very end or anything. And actually the big credit thing was just more of a epilogue than anything. Black Panther was actually pretty cool. I like what they did with Black Panther. So, I recommend it. Next up, The Jungle Book. So bringing The Jungle Book to real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is part of Disney's whole, we're going to take our classics from the vault and we're going to make them into live action films. notably coming up next year, I think it's in March of 2017, is Beauty and the Beast being redone as a live action film with Emma Watson from Harry Potter. as Hermione. For those of you that don't know who she is, she's playing Belle. The trailer's been out. The trailer has made people flip their shit. So, because I think it's polarizing, this whole concept of taking animated and turning it into live action. Not just for Disney. I think there's other ones that have been done. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Ghost in the Shell is being done as a live action film, as opposed to it came from, I think, animation. So I have no interest in this movie. I hate to say it, but a lot of people I know, like friends of mine, are like, oh my God. Like, they just were flipping out about the concept of the Jungle Book being made into a live action. And everything in the film apparently is fake except for the boy. So from that being said, the CG effects look pretty cool. But otherwise, I'm like, nah, I don't care.
Yeah, I think it looks great. It's not a movie that I feel like I'm compelled to go see, but I think it looks like they did a really good job of kind of bringing it to look to be real life. So I think they did a great, really good job.
I agree. I'm kind of looking forward to this one. I was a big fan of the original story. I don't know the book per se, but I know the original Jungle Book, and it will be interesting to see what they do with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moving on into X-Men Apocalypse. So basically, it's kind of like the third movie in the new X-Men series, starting with First Class, and then Days of Future Past. And we lost Damon again. So did you see Days of Future Past, Gary?
Okay.
I'm or is this say, another Superman superhero movie thing?
No. The only superhero things I kind of have watched, honestly, is the X-Men stuff, but not necessarily all of them. So remind me what Days of Future Past, which one that one was.
Days of Future Past was kind of like the connection with the original X-Men trilogy with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And this one where they in the future, the Sentinels are basically gone rogue and annihilating mankind as well as mutant kind. And using some of Kitty Pryde's power, they send Logan mentally back into the past to kind of prevent this terrible future from happening and stopping Raven from killing Bolivar Trask.
Right. I think I do remember that one. That one was a bit head trippy to follow, but yeah.
And Damon's back, and we're getting a lot of echo from him and background noise.
Yeah. I don't
know. Do you have us in speaker, maybe? Or?
I'm working on it now. Sorry. Okay.
No, it's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So, Damon, you're a comic book fan. What are you thinking? What's your thoughts on X-Men Apocalypse?
I've been looking forward to this movie for a while, mostly because of Psylocke, and that's really it. I'm a big fan of X-Men, obviously, and Marvel, so I'm kind of – that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to it. Other than that, if I were to be perfectly honest, I've heard that the reviews are kind of bad, so I'm – so on the fence about going to see in the theaters. I know I should, but I'm also, I don't know if I want to spend the money. If it's going to be as bad as people say it is, but if there's, because they're saying it's worse than like X3, which was okay, but not pretty freaking terrible considering the story that they chose and what they ended up doing with it. So we'll see.
And did you like Days of Future Past?
Yes, I did. I've seen it not all the way through. It was one of those ones I didn't see in the theater, but I caught it on TV and was very much a fan of it. But now we'll see. I liked it, but it wasn't awesome for me. But I'm not a big fan of Wolverine, and I don't like the Wolverine show. So. That's sort of my issue overall.
In Days of Future Past, Wolverine doesn't have his metal skeleton yet, so his claws are bone. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing, especially when it threw him off when he went back, his mind went back into the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was refreshing Gary on Days of Future Past. Gary, what are you thinking of X-Men Apocalypse, though?
Okay, so from the preview, which the one that you put into the playlist is one different than I've seen. It was a lot more explanatory of what this movie premise is about. So this one takes place, I guess, in the 80s by the bad hair and the bad fashions. But apparently, like, mutants come from a long line of individuals, and there's one that created the whole thing, which I thought I heard at some point. Someone outside of this podcast referred to that character as Apocalypto or Apocalypse or something like that. Like, that's kind of where the name comes from, because it's the bad guy character.
Yes. Apocalypse. Okay. If Apocalypse is the name of the character, actually.
Okay. The one that has the really strong contour.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, the really strong contour, yeah.
Yeah, it has the lines coming off from his lips and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I like these characters. Like this is the only really superhero movie franchise I've really seen is X-Men, so there's a part of me that wants to see it, although I really miss Ian and Patrick, so I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Here's kind of my thought about the whole Ian and Patrick thing. Ian and Patrick are really old now.
Okay.
So, my thoughts, which I like, is that they basically have their successors, and I think they're doing it. Michael Fassbender and what's his name, who I keep forgetting his name of, who's doing Professor Xavier. I think they're doing actually a pretty good job, and that one shot of him finally with the bald head. Actually kind of more looks up like Professor Xavier from the comics. So I think it's really fitting. Don't get me wrong. Patrick Stewart did an amazing job as Professor X. So no qualms on him, but for kind of passing the torch, which kind of what Days of Future Past felt like to me, is I like how they were keeping those characters as how those actors as those characters in the future. But I kind of like how they chose right when they got the right ones now. So I'm kind of excited, but I'm really thinking more of it as just an action packed fun thing. So it's not necessarily going to be like great story and everything. It's just going to be, you know, Apocalypse gets his four horsemen, which it looks like Magneto, Archangel, and I think Storm is going to be one of the horsemen. So we got the four horsemen of the Apocalypse.
That's correct. Psylocke, Storm, Angel, and Magneto are the four horsemen, technically.
Oh. Psylocke's one of the horsemen? Yep. I thought he was just going to be one of the good guys, but I guess not.
Nope.
Well, we'll see. But I think this is more of those fun action-y sort of things, not necessarily great story or anything. It's going to be a fun movie. It's not necessarily going to be good quality movie, if you get my drift. I think we've gotten our opinions on this. So moving into Alice Through the Looking Glass, basically Tim Burton's back at it again and doing a sequel to Alice in Wonderland. I think Tim Burton is kind of almost the perfect choice, is the perfect choice for Alice, the Alice movies, just because it's supposed to be weird and kind of Tim Burton-y. What do you guys think?
So here's the one thing that you need to know, and I'm looking it up to confirm it right now. I believe I heard on a different podcast, Tim Burton doesn't actually have anything to do with this one.
Really?
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's directed by James Bowden. Okay.
Yeah, it just looks like a Tim Burton film, but it's not.
Didn't he produce it or something like that?
I thought
he was like still associated with it somehow. Cast and crew. Yeah, produced by Tim Burton.
Okay.
So he's still a producer, so it still gets his style. And, of course, music by Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
So James is basically kind of taking that Tim Burton-y style. Mm-hmm. And it looks very Tim Burton-y. But it still pretty much fits with the idea of Alice in Wonderland, really.
Yeah. Mom wants to go see it. I, too, am interested to go see it. But I'm interested to see it just because visually it looks like a big fucking head trip. Mm-hmm. And as the person who doesn't do drugs, I'm like, yeah, this is probably close, you know. So I have heard a review or a bunch of reviewers discuss their thoughts on it. I'm not really going to get into that right now because I regret knowing what they say. It's not a spoiler. It's just they're critical of the film. And so now I'm like, great. So now I'm going to go see the film and I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it as much because I'm going to be thinking about what they said. So that's why I'm not, if it's a film I'm really interested in, I try not to listen to reviews or stuff ahead of time, but regardless, I thought the first one was crazy and like wild, you know, kind of visually. So thinking the same thing this time.
Damon?
I am not the biggest fan of Tim Burton, and I know he didn't do this movie, as you guys have confirmed, but overall, yeah, I like the idea. It looks a lot of fun, but I'm not going to be clamoring to go see it. I'm not going to be running. Yeah, I'm not going to be making my...
Same here. I still haven't seen the Alice in Wonderland movie that they did a little bit back. So
we'll see.
But it again, it's one of those visually appealing movies, I think. Which brings us to moving into further into June. We got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. Michael Bay's at it again. I actually now want to go back to Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that he did before, because I actually think this looks really cool, and I really like what they did with Rocksteady and Bebop.
I agree. I saw the first one. Like, I actually have seen it, and I'm okay with it. Like, I took it for what it was, and it's not like... To me, it's action, but not meant to be like, it's meant to be like a little bit more fun, playing fun at itself and its story, blah, blah, blah. But I liked it. I didn't hate it. I saw it on TV. That's what, you know, that sort of thing. Like, and that'll probably be the way I am with this next one. I do like I agree with you. I like what they did with Rocksteady and Bebop. And I'm curious, I want to see how that goes. But I probably won't see this one in the theater. Like, I'll probably wait till it shows up on, I don't know about Netflix or not, whatever, but I'll probably wait till it shows up on TV. Personally, that's my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
I have zero interest in this film.
Did you ever, like, did you like the original cartoon at all?
I watched it a little bit here and there, but could have kind of cared less about it. It just didn't grab me.
So okay, that explains everything. That's fine.
Can I finish talking? That was really rude.
Sorry.
So, you know, therefore, making it into a live-action film with these weird three-dimensional, like, computer graphic-y kind of – I'm just like, okay. I hate to say it. It seems like a big money grab to me. And then again, probably all of what we're talking about is technically. So I don't know. I'm surprised there's a second one. I didn't think the first one as a film did all that well that there would be enough interest to do a second one. But apparently it made money because they're back. So,
yeah.
Did you guys see the original trilogy of live action movies?
I did see the original trilogy. And that's probably why I didn't completely, totally knock this one off, like without, you know, giving it much interest. Because I was kind of like, well, you know, there was something behind the original ones that I want to kind of see if they can accomplish in a new one. And I'm getting what they're doing, but we'll see. We'll honestly see. I still won't spend the money to go into the theater. I will probably wait till it shows up on, you know, till I can watch it at home.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think I'm the only one who's actually really excited about this. I'm one of those people who likes to go see fun movies, even if they're not like great stories or anything, but they're visually appealing. And I think, especially compared to the original trilogy, which I loved, I think that they did an amazing job with the Turtles. And again, with Rocksteady and Bebop, mutating them into these creatures. So I think this is going to be a fun romp. This is going to be very nostalgic because I love the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles TV show. And this kind of gives me the feeling for that. One of my favorite parts of the trailers is we got to be with the Turtles. Whenever something like this happens, you got to be with the Turtles. So, yeah, I'm actually really excited about that. Moving on, because we're trying to go through these quickly, we got a lot to cover. Also in June, we've got Now You See Me Too. The Magicians are back. And speaking of Harry Potter, we've got Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys see the first one?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I did. I actually paid money. I went in the movie theater. I went and saw it because I like magic. I think it's cool, like as an entertainment art form. So I was like, this will be interesting. It's mindless in a way. I mean, the first one was not a great movie, but had some cool visuals to it. So I kind of liked it. The fact that it's back in a second one really intrigues me, especially because if you watch the first one, you know that something happens to the one semi-main character, like, not one of the magicians, but yeah. And it's so funny because I'm like, oh, all right. I'll be curious to see how they're kind of playing this one out a little bit. And then apparently Daniel Radcliffe becomes a part of it as a new member of the team or something. I'm not sure.
Or maybe a villain?
Possibly. In the trailer, he's apparently inept, so that would that could just be a cover.
Possibly. I don't know. So I think this is one of the ones that I'm like, maybe I'll take a look at it when it comes out on video. Maybe go back to see what Now You See Me 1 was like.
Yeah. 'Cause
I'm like, I recognize the name, but what was this the one about the guy who like kept escaping because he was such a good like costume artist or something? And then it's like all this magic show. I'm like, I don't remember this at all. Like, I remember the name of the movie, but now it's like all about magic. I'm like, what? So yeah. I was a little confused by it. I think it was confusing the Catch Me If You Can. I think that was the movie that I was confusing it, the first one as. Yeah.
You're probably thinking of Catch Me If You Can. But Now You See Me, I wanted to see it and I just didn't. And I'm kind of, now that they've made a second one, I kind of do want to see what they did with it. And I really like the trailer. Like, the trailer grabbed my attention. Because I'm like Gary, I like that magic aspect of it. And I would really love to see the more, like, how they're doing some of the stuff. But that's, I know I doubt we'll get to see that. But I was very much intrigued by the trailer. So it's one of those things where, hey, if a friend wants to go see the movie, I'll be like, oh, sure, let's go do that. Like, I would, but otherwise I'll probably wait. But I do have an interest, and I'll probably, you know, I feel I wouldn't have to worry about seeing the first one to see this one. Maybe I could potentially, you know, read it up on Wikipedia to get a good grasp of the story, because I felt like the story was decent and simple enough to where the second one would potentially make it a difference. But we'll see.
Yeah, this is
saying that a lot.
This is going to be one of those movies which I feel like is not going to be a great movie, but again, it's going to be visually appealing, that it's going to be interesting to go see even in the theaters just to enjoy that part. But I'm not again, it's kind of like, I'm actually going to compare it to some of these other movies where it's more of a romp fest and just a fun movie, but not necessarily great story, if you get what I mean. So I'm going to be interested in seeing it, but again, going on to Netflix or something. So next up is the one that I'm totally going to see like opening weekend because, well, I spent like, I've spent like 11, 12 years playing already. The game World of Warcraft, it's been around for over like 27 years.
Yeah.
And the movie is finally coming out. Something we've been like, they've been creating all these amazing cinematics for the game. We've been wanting basically that in a movie format, and they're doing a live action. It takes place in a completely separate Warcraft universe. So again, game timeline versus cinematic timeline. I can get that. In fact, they put out Christy Golden, who's one of the greatest Warcraft writers, wrote the sequel or the prequel book, Durotan, which I think is a great, it's a really fast read, but I find it's really interesting and entertaining. And it puts together this connection between Durotan and Orgrim Doomhammer, which in the game world, Orgrim was a Blackrock orc. And in the movie universe, he's a Frostwolf orc. So there's one difference between it. In fact, there's this clip that you can find on YouTube where Durotan and Orgrim are just kind of like sitting overlooking a village. And just right at the beginning, Orgrim just takes a pebble and just kind of throws it at Durotan's head, tosses it at Durotan's head, and it's really funny. So I thought, I'm super, super excited for this. And you just have to have that split between, it's not the game world.
Yeah.
But it kind of still tells us a good story.
I kind of knew you would be fangirling over this one. when I saw that this was part of the trailer and I saw that the movie was coming out, I've known for a while that it was out. I was like, oh, Jeffrey's going to like this one. Jeffrey's really going to like, well, just because I know you're a big fan of the series. So not the series, that sounds good, the game. So, you know, it was clearly going to be, personally, I've been wanting to see this one too, only because I like the fantasy aspect of it. The idea of the, you know, rivals and enemies coming together for a common goal situation. So that's where I'm at with regards to the movie. We'll see. We'll definitely see. I wrote down it's very Lord of the Rings-esque. I know it's clearly not. I kind of wrote that down as I feel that's part of it, you know. We shall see what I'm personally am looking forward to it. Overall, just because of the it looked visually interesting, and I'm curious as a non Warcraft player if this will be something I can get into. I've read there was a manga of from the World of Warcraft world. I don't know where exactly.
Is it manga or just comic book?
No, it was there was an actual manga, and there was an actual there's an actual comic book series too, so I've read all of that, so I get, you know, the interest behind it, so I will be intrigued by what they do with it, and considering how long Warcraft has been a out there, it's going to be interesting, and I it's funny I was on, I think Tumblr or someplace else, and someone at, I think maybe Facebook, and someone had literally made a meme of, you know, people are going to watch this movie and there's going to be a ton of people interested, new people interested in Warcraft. So let's try to be respectful of those newbies so that, you know, they have a decent, you know, time doing the game.
And that, you know, that was the goal of Duncan Jones, you know, the guy, the man who made Moon. and everybody. And so Duncan Jones is the one who is the director of this film. So, and I think they did an amazing job with the orcs. I'm super excited, and they really, the kind of focus on this is giving people who don't, because this takes place really during the original Warcraft game, orcs versus humans. Again, this different timeline, so story is a little bit different. So it is really more of an introduction to the world of Warcraft, no pun intended. And is meant to not just be for those fans of the Warcraft in general, but for those people who have never seen Warcraft. It's the reason why it's called Warcraft and not World of Warcraft, because this takes place way before the game. I mean, Thrall, you see, is being held in the hand of Durotan, is just a baby. So Thrall, which is like the leader of the Horde in Warcraft 3 and World of Warcraft, at least for three expansions, is not even old enough to be a leader yet because he's just been born. So it takes place way back when. So again, introduction. Gary, what do you think?
I have no interest.
Aww.
No, it's not my thing. I'm already confused watching the trailer, so I don't think I'm gonna get any film. So
I recommend that at least once it comes out on Blu-ray, iTunes, Netflix, I think you should at least see it once, just so you can kind of see where the world that I'm enjoying. So, but I think enough fanboying for me on Warcraft. Unless you have any additional comments.
No.
Okay. Moving on to something which I think we're all pretty much interested in. It's the sequel to Finding Nemo, Finding Dory. I'm kind of excited.
Yay. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know who else is, but I'm stoked to find, to see what they did with it. It's been a long time in production. Ellen DeGeneres, of course, is, you know, pretty much all around amazing. So, yeah, the preview looks cute. Pixar has obliterated the merchandise marketplace. Mom and I went shopping yesterday. I couldn't go any freaking place without seeing Dory.
Ha ha ha.
She's a graham cracker snack. She's a fruit snack. She's a cereal. She's a towel. She's a shirt. She's a book. She's a coloring book. She's a, you name it. It is every MF in place. And I'm like, wow, they are just literally stealing money out of every parent's pocket.
Well, here's the thing. Given the and this is sort of where I am with the guardians to it. Given the time frame between the Finding Nemo and the Finding Dory, because it's been a while, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm kind of, honestly, personally, I'm kind of meh about it. I'll see it if I, you know, get a chance to, but I am kind of meh because I, you know, had I seen Finding Nemo and then a few years down the line, they brought out Finding Dory. Yeah, I probably would have been really up for seeing it. Now, since it's been a lot longer.
It's been 13 years since Finding Dory came out.
That's a long time.
13 years.
So the child who watched the movie is now either probably graduating high school, if not, you know, already in college, you know, and yes, has Nemo been still around for a while? Yeah, kind of off and on here and there because you get little bits of it in other movies. But 13 years is a long time to have a sequel / independent story kind of thing, you know. I'm very meh about it personally.
I mean, I'm going to go see it. I know Mom probably wants to go see it too. It's got, you know, some magical, you know, childish wonder kind of stuff to it. And I, most of the stuff that Pixar does, I enjoy, whether it goes over big at the box office or not. The fact that we had to look up and discuss that it's been 13 years since the first movie came out is problematic, because I see what you're saying, Damon. I think is, if you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
when the first movie came out, and now it's 13 years later, you are anywhere from 18 to 23 and possibly have kids.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the movie is 3 years late. I'm not saying I'm not going to see it and that it shouldn't have been done. I'm just like, I think something happened along the way and we don't know the whole story, and maybe it'll get revealed years down the line about, you know, Pixar going through a ton of problems trying to get the story right or whatever. I don't know.
But I agree. Yeah. I feel it's a little too late, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Incredibles, which came out in 2004, is going to have a sequel in 2019. So that's going to be like 15 years. Wow. So I also think maybe they were trying to do a lot more original stuff as well. So it wasn't, they weren't necessarily focusing on making many sequels. I mean, Toy Story, they kind of put out much more quicker, but they had, I don't know, it was their really first big hit. So they were focusing more on that. So it could just be unfocused. They had other stories they wanted to tell, such as Inside Out. So it could just be priorities. They were like, hey, true, now we're getting around to doing the sequel to Finding Nemo. But I think just because a lot of the people who watch the original Finding Nemo are getting into this, I think this is still could also be considered an independent story in the same world with some of the same, with the same characters that are going to be appealing to children nowadays. So it's like, hey, kids, see the magic that I saw.
And that could probably be what they're going for. You know, like, like Gary said, Pixar has really yet to give us something terrible, you know? Mm. So they could potentially be like, oh, we're going to make this movie so that the parents can be like, here you go, kid. This was a movie. This is a sequel to a movie I like when I was little. Yet, you know, here we are now. This is a whole, you know, different thing. Yeah, you'll be short, you know, characters you may recognize, but they're going to probably put more things in it. So we'll see. You know, enjoy, children. You know, it is. We'll see. I'm kind of. But we'll see. I'm very much a mad person about it, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. Incredibles, I do want to see, but that's just me.
All right, moving on. We're still in June with Swiss Army Man, Daniel Radcliffe, again.
Okay, so I have a question for the two of you first, because I will own that I put the list together. I included this because I knew about this movie when it was at Sundance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm imagining this movie is going to be controversial for people and a bit of a mind bender.
Definitely. I literally wrote, what the fuck? Because I was looking at the trailer and I was kind of like, I don't get it, but whatever. See, I'm like you, Jeff. I don't know. Like, it's to me, like a mind bender is sort of like what we were talking about with Alice. This is sort of this is definitely a mind fuck.
Okay. I think that's fair.
And maybe if I read more about it, I could. Get into it more, but I don't. From the trailer, get going. Is Dan Radcliffe dead? Is he alive? Is he semi animated? Is he a figment of the person's imagination? It's just. I don't know.
The description on IMDb says, a hopeless man stranded in the wilderness befriends a dead body, and together they go on a surreal journey to get home. So it's almost like Daniel Radcliffe's character is a zombie. In some sense.
Maybe. Yeah, so the movie is called Swiss Army Man. The concept is that this gentleman who, in the trailer, attempts to take his own life, because you get the impression kind of he's deserted on an island, that he discovers a dead body that washes up on shore, which happens to be Daniel Radcliffe, right when he's taking his own life, like basically hanging himself. Long story short, that doesn't work. And then he uses Daniel's body to get home in all sorts of fantastical ways. But the thing is that Daniel Radcliffe sort of comes alive, but not in a like zombie self-propelling way, in a like a weird, like, I think of this, and I never saw the movie, the Tom Hanks movie with Wilson, the volleyball, that was like Robinson Crusoe-ish, but I don't remember what the name of the movie is.
If we had this thing called the internet.
I know.
Castaway.
Castaway, that's it.
So yep. Conceptually, in that movie, I never saw it. I believe Tom Hanks keeps his sanity by creating another character referring to the volleyball as a person. Like, as a way for him to trouble, like, shoot things out loud and to have conversations and whatever. I think this is a very weird take on that, which is, if you had a dead body, how could you use it to do things with it? But I think you have to suspend a lot of reality to understand some things that happen, or to know, to see what you're watching, and to not, I don't know, get caught up in the weirdness of it. Because apparently, I think it was at Sundance when it premiered, a lot of people walked out of the movie theater disgusted and thought it was like just in really bad taste, and they couldn't believe that Daniel did it. And that's why I put it on the list, because to me, bad press is press. So if everyone's freaking out about the insanity of this movie, guess what? It might become a hit. Like, just by box office numbers.
Like, I don't think it was in the trailer that I have in the playlist, but one of the other trailers, Daniel Radcliffe gets a hard on a few times.
So, yeah, spoiler. One of his talents, quote unquote, as a Swiss Army man, is that he has an erection that points the other guy and where to go. It's so messed up.
It is really fucked up. But I suppose that's one of the reasons why it's rated R.
Yeah, it's totally out of... If there was a movie that broke him as being known as Harry Potter for the rest of his life, this one's a good attempt at it, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with that. So,
definitely.
Check it out? Question mark? I don't know. It's not. It looks like it's a really good movie, but it's not a movie I want to see.
Yeah,
I could like never see this. And it says, "Hey, that looks really good. If you want to see it, go see it." But
I'm not.
Not my thing. No, that erection thing kind of disturbs me.
That's something for the record. That needs to be written down officially somewhere.
No, Daniel Radcliffe is really not my type, so I suppose that's kind of one of the reasons why it's disturbing. If this was a much more bearish of a guy, sure. Maybe I'd be more interested, but no. Anyways, moving on, since we're still in June, for God's sakes. Independence Day Resurgence, so a sequel to Independence Day. I actually totally want to see this. Maybe not necessarily the theater. I mean, it's a Roland Emmerich movie, so it's one of those things where it's action-packed. It's a really looks like a really fun movie. Kind of want to see it just because it looks like it's going to be kind of fun, interesting sort of thing. But I do like how they adapted the aliens' weapons into Earth technology. So, yeah. Who would have thought? Independence Day sequel.
Well, and just so everyone's on record, it's 20 years later. 1996 is when Independence Day came out. 20 years later, we have a sequel. So,
yeah.
Damon, what do you think?
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. 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 No. not going to go see it. Don't particularly care to see it. Didn't really care for the first one. And the fact that Will Smith's not in it, kind of, no.
That's fine. It almost looks like the character's son is taking a part in it. Will Smith's son is taking a part in it, so.
Okay.
I think. Well, I don't think Will Smith's son, but the character's son.
Got it. Still no.
Thor's in it. Liam Hemsworth. No, no, that's not Thor. That's Thor's brother.
Anyway.
You know, again, I think it's going to be a fun movie. Not necessarily a good movie, but a fun movie. It's a Roland Emmerich. All right. Let's get out of...
No.
What?
Did Gary say things?
Oh, all I basically said was that it was 20 years later. I'm indifferent on it. The fact that Jeff Goldblum's in it is kind of a winning thing because I like him as an actor. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I don't know. To me, no offense, this feels like all the other Transformers movies after the first one. Like, first one, fine, you made a movie. Now all the rest of them just seem to be like, we're going to play on the nostalgia that we made a sequel.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So moving into July, because we still got a ton of stuff to do. The BFG, no, it's not a big fucking gun from Doom. It is a big friendly giant. Because so, really, when I first saw the name BFG, before I saw anything about it, because I know nothing about this movie, mm-hmm. I saw the BFG and I'm like, oh, is this like a big... fucking gun like in Doom? So it's a sci-fi action thing? No, it's completely different.
It's not. It's from Disney, and Spielberg is the director. So it's from a 1982 children's book written by Roald Dahl, who, if I'm not mistaken, what else did he write? Because I totally blanked. He wrote James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Matilda, The Witches, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Yeah. So that author also wrote the BFG book, and Spielberg apparently decided he wanted to direct, and so they took it and made it into a animated / live action thing.
Yeah. For it being Disney, for it being Spielberg, for it being kind of this odd story, I am not clamoring to go see this one. I don't know the story, so I'm kind of like, I don't get it. So the trailer didn't wow me. So
more of something that you probably would take kids to.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Not really. So I hope it does well, at least. I mean, it's Steven Spielberg, so I'm just a fan of Steven Spielberg, so hopefully it's all good.
Yeah. So Disney's got another thing that's out there. Ready to move on to the next one?
Moving on, we've got The Secret Life of Pets.
So I will say this, when I was in the movie theaters for other movies and I saw the trailer preview for this, I thought it was fucking hysterical and I could not wait to go see the film. Now that I've seen a more modern version of the trailer, I'm like, oh, this isn't really anything like I thought it was going to be. I'm not saying I feel duped. I'm just not as excited, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm the same way, Gary. I was very much looking forward to it when I saw the trailers, you know, for previous stuff. I'm a fan of the Despicable Me, you know, franchise, but I'm not as excited about this one as I once was. You know, I'm obviously they had to build some kind of story for this to kind of go on, but the story doesn't seem very interesting to me. You know, but at the same time, what could you have done with like? What I was thinking was going to be was showing the, you know, the pets when they're, you know, when they're owners leave and kind of having fun with that. I don't know. I guess there was where I was at. And they still stuck the ending of the cute and prim and proper poodle and the rock, you know, heavy metal.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what everyone loved about it, was that it was just this huge juxtaposition, you know, this crazy, you know, kind of visual versus what you're hearing and that stuff put together. So consequently, long story short, Secret Life of Pets, animated, you know, cutesy. There's a dog, Max. Apparently his owner gets a second dog that doesn't necessarily go well. And then they somehow, I believe, end up outside of where they live in an apartment in a city. And then they get taken away by the dog pound and all the animals are trying to help save them. So it's like, oh, that's what I mean. It's like, eh. Oh, I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, that kind of sounds like a lot of other animated movies. I don't know how excited I am now to go see it.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Next movie.
Moving on, Ghostbusters 2016 with very, very deceiving verbiage in their original trailer. I'm not sure if the newer trailers changed it or anything, but it said like 20 years ago, scientists saved New York, and now it's a new generation of female Ghostbusters. But it actually is not the same. It's like separate universe. Like there never were Ghostbusters in this universe. And now we have a series of women instead of men who
really
do it. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's highly disappointing.
So they're saying that the original Ghostbusters had their thing that's a different universe. But here's some nostalgia, but we're making them all women in. Melissa McCarthy.
Well, okay. I'm taking this one for what it is. I know it's not a sequel. I know it's not a remake perfect remake as it were, which is kind of what I was not wanting. I didn't want a remake. I didn't want a sequel. I just wanted a reimagining, as it were.
I suppose that's what it is. Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what I'm taking it for. Will I go see it? Maybe. You know, we'll see how things go when the shit hits the fan. Like, I kind of want to see it, but I kind of don't. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, you know, maybe I'll go see it. You know, I'm okay with Miss McCartney, but, you know, I'm not going to. I like the trailer. I laugh. It's very funny. But my usual concern with comedy movies, especially comedy action movies, is the funny stuff that's in the trailer. And I've seen a couple of trailers for this movie already. So I'm kind of like, I don't want to hit it and have seen all the funny stuff and then it kind of gets bland and dull for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm troubled conceptually by the fact that they're gonna act like it's a new universe and like the previous one never existed. That really just grinds my gears, because it's like, you can't, I guess maybe now I understand why people had such a shit fit about what J.J. Abrams did with the Star Trek universe by like rebooting it, because that's kind of what this sounds like to me. Do you know what I mean? Like we're just gonna act like, no, the everything you know you don't know. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, you can't put Slimer in the new movie and act like Slimer never existed before. Hello? Part of the reason people are going to go see the new movie is because they know who the fuck Slimer is.
Yeah. One thing about the J.J. Abrams thing that I liked was he connected it with the original Star Trek universe. So
right.
He made a connection to it. So kind of it was really more of a passing the torch thing. And, you know, we're going to start fresh with the new Captain Kirk, et cetera. And things are a little bit different.
Speaking of Star Trek.
In other words, you're saying, move on. Uh-huh. So the third of new universe Star Trek movies, Star Trek Beyond, is on, which I am kind of really psyched about. I like the reimagining, rather reboot of Star Trek, for movies at least. I still think they really kept the feeling of the original one and just kind of like enhanced it and pass the torch. So I'm actually really excited for Star Trek Beyond.
I've only seen the first one. I didn't get to see the second one. But I am also very much looking forward to what they're... I like the trailer, and I'm very much looking forward to what they do with it. So that's my personal opinion on it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to shit on the Star Trek franchise. Obviously, you know, it's part of the lore and the legacy of that whole sci-fi, you know, universe and all that. But I do take a little bit of an issue. If I follow the trailer correctly, spoiler alert, if anyone's like not seen a trailer yet and you don't want to hear what I have to say, just skip ahead. It appears that after what happened, you know, with the last movie in Khan, Starfleet gets their shit back together. They build another goddamn ship. You take the ship out into space, and then it gets destroyed again.
This is what happens when you go exploring in the universe.
Really? Really? Like, I'm like, where is all this material and money coming from? Anyways, so I'm just going to park that aside.
That in the future, there is money. And they've got an entire universe to get materials from to build these ships, okay?
Well, it's no wonder they keep getting attacked. Hello. Stop stealing ships from other places.
They're not stealing shit. They're finding new uninhabited planets, and they're, you know, getting resources.
Well,
from
it appears this time they found an inhabited planet. Hence, all the shit, you know, goes to hell.
Right. And part of the Enterprise's mission is to explore strange new worlds, seek out new life and new civilizations. Unfortunately, this one's a little hostile.
Yeah.
Well. So, just a little bit. You know, swarming the ship and just completely destroying it and taking them as slaves, it looks like. And then they have to escape. So, hey, that's... some of the consequences of exploring the universe. Sometimes you don't find friendly people. It happens. Mm-hmm. Live with it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of living with it, next movie.
Ice Age Collision Course. I have absolutely no idea what's going on here.
Well, right. Okay.
So, David, go ahead.
So what I'm getting from this movie overall is that they are completing the older history of the world, where now it looks like there's going to be the asteroid hitting the Earth, which is what happened supposedly many, 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 many years ago. And they're now telling us that story. Personally, I'm kind of like, why are we once again doing another Ice Age movie? Is it really that popular? Has it really been that popular that we are able to continue to franchise yet again with another movie? No, I don't think so. I'm not going to go see this one. I haven't seen the last couple of Ice Age movies because it just doesn't interest me.
I've never seen an Ice Age movie.
Well, there you go.
So,
Gary?
I see it as a complete money grab. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it's just... and yes, apparently, according to the trailer, the squirrel is responsible for the end of the Ice Age. Because, anyways, you have to see the trailer to see the long, like, exponential what happens and the weird billiard game gets played with our immediate
solar system.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so strange.
And that was the those are the
explanation of the big red dot on Jupiter.
Yeah, those are the things I think that personally bothered me, because scientifically the Earth was there, and the universe was in its situation, and it that's the part that irks me. I'm like, no, that's not how it happened. Like, the Earth was already here.
Let's be serious about this. We're talking about an animated film about prehistoric creatures that talk to each other. So, yeah, I give them that they could get fantastical about it, but I think they just went too far. It's almost like, how much did you smoke? Did you pass it around? Did you pay a good price for it?
You know what you should have done? Just stroke the furry wall.
Yeah.
Life gives you a Jeffrey. Stroke the furry walls. Have you ever seen Get Him to the Creek? Great movie.
Okay. Moving right along.
Moving right along in a movie that I'm definitely not going to see. Absolutely Fabulous, the movie. Finally gets a movie.
But Sweetie Darling.
Sweetie Darling. So here's what I want to do. Moving on. But I'll let you guys talk.
We have to at least give recognition that this is the gayest film of the summer.
And it's in July, not June. Come on.
Hey, whatever. Hey, they want to give everyone time to have their pride celebrations and then go see a movie.
Yeah. So anyways, Absolutely Fabulous, the TV show that like is a cult hit amongst older gays, is now has been made into a movie, and they got the actual cast actresses who played the original roles to be in it. And so I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know if I'm going to go pay money in the theater to go see it. So
I think Jim wants to see it, so we'll probably see it. Okay. I've seen the show. But you know, British comedies don't particularly grab me. Some do, some don't. And so I'm kind of on the fence about it. Like, I'll go see it if he wants to go see it, but I'm not going to go see it on my own. Mm. And we know Jeffrey's not going to see it at all. So
no.
So moving along.
It's also one of those movies where there's going to be a shit ton load of embarrassing moments. And you know me about embarrassing moments when it comes to comedies.
Ah.
Yeah.
So moving right along to a movie that I definitely won't see. Jason Bourne.
Oh, Jason Bourne's back. Don't get me wrong. The Bourne Legacy was kind of cool with Jeremy Renner. Was pretty cool. I'm a fan. I mean, the original Bourne movie, The Bourne Identity, had one of my favorite actresses, Franca Potente, in it. So I was really thrilled. I don't know. I have a thing for kind of those action-packed spy thriller sort of movies. They're kind of cool to me. I don't know. I like seeing people get beaten up by like a super elite guy. And the thing is Jason Bourne actually is a good guy. It's just the government's being assholes. You're a threat to international security, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I just want to be left alone. I'm out. Just let me be out. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. You come after me, you're going to cause trouble. I'm just going to have to retaliate. And that's a bad thing. Stop it. So. And Julia Stiles is back. We haven't seen Julia Stiles in a while, have we?
I don't recall.
Wasn't she like in 10 Things I Hate About You or something like that? Yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You. She was the lead in that. I like Julia Stiles. So that sounds like we're moving on. Now, tell me, we're getting to August, you know, one of my favorite months of the year. In addition to the new expansion of World of Warcraft coming out, it's also my birthday, which means, you know what happens when August 29th comes around, or really close to August 29th, we all get drunk. But in addition to that, Suicide Squad comes out. Tell me we're not thrilled about this movie. I dare you.
Okay. I am looking forward to the movie. I'm not going to say I'm thrilled because I don't know the comic. I know some of the characters in DC. It's not Marvel, so that's probably why I don't know it as well. But that's personal thing. But I'm kind of looking forward to the trailer. Interested me. But I don't know the story, so I'm on the fence about it. I get sort of the premise, the general premise of it, but will
Harley Quinn, Deadshot, the samurai-ish lady.
Katana, yes.
Katana and Harley Quinn. I mean, and they're basically bad guys who essentially, I'm not sure if they do it in this movie, but they basically get bombs implanted in their head and are forced by the government to basically do good things. You know, they go in and be like, hey, if you kill, don't skin off our back. But they go into dangerous situation and it's like, hey, you're bad guys. We want you to do some good, very dangerous things. If you don't follow what we tell you to do, we'll just blow you up. And if you do, great. And everybody wins, right? Well, one of my favorite things, Will Smith as Deadshot, looks amazing. I think he does a really good thing. You know, he's trying to get a guy to really do his fiery thing. And he says, look, I was just trying to get you there. No hard feelings, right? And then them in the bar, and then the fire guy, who I can't remember who he is. I'm assuming he's Heatwave, but I could be wrong. And he asks for water, and Harley Quinn's like, good idea. I think this looks great. And the guy who plays the Joker, I think, actually does a pretty good job for this universe as Joker. But that's just me. I'm excited. How about you, Gary?
I'm intrigued. I don't really know any of the characters other than obviously Joker. I'm familiar with who Harley Quinn is, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's about it. So I am excited about the fact that Viola Davis plays a badass in the movie, that she's the one that organizes the team together. So I don't know if that makes her a good person or a bad person. So that part intrigues me about the movie, and I love
She's kind of like that in between sort of person. She plays Amanda Waller, which I believe there's an Amanda Waller in the Flash Arrowverse too. Actually, they had a Suicide Squad in the Flash Arrowverse too. The Flareoverse, I suppose they're called now. But Viola Davis is Amanda Waller, so
yeah. So I'm intrigued. I think it's, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, had a nerdgasm over when the first trailer got put out. So I was like, oh, all right, cool. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we've got The Founder and Michael Keaton as kind of a bad guy in some sense.
Well,
it's really good.
This is the thing. I'm intrigued by this one only because I like the concept of them, you know, based on the true story, they're telling the story of McDonald and I think Ray Kroc and everything. So I'm on the fence. You know, I like the story. I'm very interested in seeing how they take it, and I wonder where McDonald's, you know, went like, go for it, go for broke, do everything you need to do. And I wonder where they were like, wait, no, we don't want you to do all that. Because that's sort of my curiosity, because, you know, McDonald's is such a major situation of this. Hold on one second. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put it in the list because the movie's called The Founder. It's supposedly a true story take on how Ray Kroc became the founder of McDonald's from the brothers that actually created McDonald's. For those of you that don't know, Ray Kroc was a milkshake salesman. He came across their business, sold them a couple of units, and then sort of befriended them. And the movie basically makes him look like a real bad guy because he ended up fighting them for rights in order to be able to be the owner of the company to franchise the shit out of McDonald's. And so it kind of reminds me of, and I can't remember the name of the movie, Kevin. Oh shit. What the hell's his last name?
Kevin Spacey.
No, Waterworld.
Costner.
Yes. Kevin Costner. I think if I recall the movie correctly, Kevin Costner plays the guy who created the intermittent windshield wiper. And there was a movie about the story of that guy as an inventor and how he fought GM, I think it was, the automobile manufacturer, because they stole the concept from him. And he fought his entire life and litigated it and finally, in the end, was recognized. But like, it was a very like bittersweet, like kind of tragic story. This reminds me of that, like how business can be pretty cutthroat and bad, and you don't always necessarily know the real story. And that's what intrigues me about it. Like, as a movie, is I'm like, McDonald's isn't doing very well right now. Like, in the land of the burger industry, you know, Shake Shack and In-N-Out and these other, you know, smaller ones are kind of like kicking their ass locally, regionally, and supposedly, I think this year was the first year ever that McDonald's was actually supposed to close some stores. So yeah, it's interesting the timing of this movie to come out and basically be like, you know, think you know the story? Check this action out.
Yeah. I'm in the I want to see it just because I like that. I want to know that story, you know, because, you know, it's never all, you know, ice cream and candy with stuff like this. You know, it's a business. So there's this whole other part of it that we don't really know about. And I'm kind of interested in wanting to see what that part of it was. Mm-hmm. And I feel that this movie will bring that out.
This is one movie where I'm thinking this is going to be, I feel like this is going to be a really, really good movie, really great movie. And I think it might end up being Oscar worthy. It's feeling like that. The only thing is, it's not something I'm really interested in seeing, so I'm probably never ever going to see the movie. But I have this feeling that it's that quality wise, something that would appeal to, you know, the Academy is. It's basically, I think this is Michael Keaton's next Birdman.
Yeah, so I was thinking that.
Yeah, that's true. That could be true.
And I know this is weird, but I really feel like the character that Michael Keaton is playing is kind of like his character from the new RoboCop movie, which it really feels like he's being evil. So it's almost saying, hey, this is a true story about the guy who essentially helped make McDonald's become popular, and then he took all the credit and is just being this evil corporate schmuck, if that makes any sense. And, you know, makes me not like him at all, like the character at least. But and it looks like he's being very Michael Keaton in his performance, and I really like it. I think it's going to be a really good movie, just not a movie I want to go see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm on the fence about it. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but that's just the history buff in me that wants.
Yeah,
to
it's
see
a,
it.
It's a different type of movie, and if you want to go see it, definitely go see it. It looks like it's going to be a really good movie, just not the type of movie I want to go see. So, me seeing it, is it something that's probably going to be pretty up there in accolades? I feel like it will be. We'll see what the critics end up saying about it and what the Academy thinks. But I'm really hoping, I wouldn't be, I really kind of hope that this movie ends up being at least nominated for an Oscar, if not winning it, the best picture even. So, or Michael Keaton gets some accolades for it. It's looking really, really good. All right, moving on. Pete's Dragon, so kind of going back into that childhood nostalgia sort of thing, except this seems to be a completely different story than the Pete's Dragon I know of. Of course, I only know of, like, the Disney cartoon film.
Yeah, so we're kind of winding down the list, and we're back to the whole, let's take an animated feature and make it into a live-action thing again.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie's going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just wish I could have seen more of the dragon. At least in the one trailer that I got to see, always got to see, was just the one shot of the dragon. And I would like to see some interaction between the boy and the dragon and how it is. There's no lighthouse in this movie, as far as I could tell. So,
well, that's sort of the thing. Like, and that's the problem I think I overall have with the trailer. The trailer is intriguing, but not enough. Like, I would have liked to have seen more. I agree. I would have liked to have seen the dragon. I would have liked, because the way that they're spinning the story is the child was abandoned in the forest or somewhere, and that the dragon, you know, he lived there for 6 years and he didn't live there alone, and you know, he wouldn't have survived on his own. So there's this whole, like, I don't, my concern is it going to be, is the dragon real? Is it, you know, what's going on? Like, what's going on with it? And when I saw one of the movies I saw recently, I was kind of like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Now seeing it again, I'm kind of I don't particularly care. I mean, it'll be one of those movies where I'll see it if someone else wants to see it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to make a big deal about still doing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was a child having a fondness for the concept of Peach Dragon. Probably because we took animation and put it over real live action type stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks is one of my all time favorite movies, period, mm-hmm, hands down. But I think it's because of that nostalgic, you know, strange time in Disney where they did that kind of a thing. So for this, I'm like, don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah.
It's a movie, of all the movies they picked, they could have picked to reimagine and redo. It's not the one I would have chosen. I agree, mm-hmm, with you. I probably would have chosen Bedknobs and Broomsticks, or hell, even Mary Poppins again. You know, something just, mm-hmm, you know, something that was popular, very, very popular. I don't remember this movie being as popular as, say, those. And that's kind of where I'm like, well, I don't know why they chose this movie. Not that I didn't like it, but it wasn't the movie I was, you know, I would have, right, picked of, right, the Disney, like, you know, universe.
The mix of cartoon in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of mixing up real life.
Oh. So God, all these films nowadays are all these animated features with making things animated and funny and family friendly, such as The Secret Life of Pets nowadays, and Finding Dory. In comes Seth Rogen and company with Sausage Party,
all right,
an R-rated version.
Yeah. So here's the craziest thing by far. It's a real movie.
Question. Yeah.
Yes.
I totally, like, said that.
The trailer went out and everybody lost their mind because they thought it was hysterical and no one took it serious. No one I knew, not that I talked to a lot of people, but I got the impression no one took it serious that this was really going to be a movie.
I didn't think it was going to be a movie. I really didn't. I thought this was meant to be just this stupid, fun, animated, you know, bullshit, you know, kind of trailer thing that people put out.
Fake trailer. No. It's a real movie. Surprise.
Wow.
I just love the wieners having a love relationship with the buns.
God.
So such.
I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I'm totally like.
Yeah, I'm this, like, is what? One of those movies that I might, like, definitely when I'm at home alone, maybe eating some, you know, tube-stowed pizza and soda and maybe some beer, I'll watch it and then I'll have my blanket ready to hide because it's going to be like every 2 seconds. But yeah, it's kind of like if your food could actually think for itself, what it would think about, you know, one of my favorite parts of this trailer is when the potato starts getting peeled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing is...
It's a horror movie in some sense.
Right. I'm greatly concerned for parents of kids because this movie looks like so many other computer animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in this weird kind of like Paranorman. Like,
yeah.
Like almost claymation-ish, like, you know, like I just don't know how to explain it. And I'm so concerned because I think parents are going to lose their shit over kids wanting to go see this movie that is really not for them. I mean, because in the trailer, the potato drops the F-bomb, I think, 2 or 3 times. I mean, there's no getting around. Yeah. This it's is not just an the potato. I think adult it's a, movie.
There's that one thing that the slouch is talking to where he's talking about all the horrors of food. And he says it really fucks you up. I mean, he says that in the trailer. Of course, yeah. Here's the thing is we got the Red Band trailer here. I think we might end up having a similar problem to what we had with Deadpool. Where parents are going to have like no clue about anything. It's like, oh, it's a cartoon. We could go see it because it's cartoon. So it's for kids. No, fuck no. Parents, all you gays who are not parents who are listening to this, please warn your friends with kids. Please tell them do not take your children to go see this movie. Not just for the language, but it really seriously might fuck up your children when it comes to food. Because we know that this is all parody. This is humor. This is supposed to be funny and about the horrors of what if food could think would it be. Because, you know, your kids may not want to eat because they're afraid to hurt all the hot dogs. Those poor hot dogs and buns when you go start chewing on them. I mean, the baby carrots. I mean, this is going to totally fuck up children. Please, 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 whatever you do, do not take your children to see this. You stupid, stupid parents nowadays. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of things that I think like parents nowadays are overprotective of their children nowadays for various things. But this is definitely not a movie to take your kids to if you want to go see it.
This is
for you, not your kids. Yes, animation can be for people.
This movie is seriously, seriously fucked up. I'm a little.
I think it's a brilliant idea, honestly.
No, I don't. But I just kind of. I don't know why it was made into a movie, and maybe if I see it, which I probably won't. I'll get that kind of, I get it. Maybe.
It's Seth Rogen. It's Michael Cera. It's that group of people that just said, like, the fuck up.
I think it was created to make fun of animated films for kids. Mm-hmm. I seriously think it's meant to pull back the curtain and be like, we are way too sugarcoating when it comes to our kids and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's spin the whole thing on its head and make an adult version of what looks like a kid's movie with very adult like themes.
Like, no.
And I'm just like that. I mean, it's Seth Rogen. I mean, look, they did that. What was it called? The Interviewer, whatever, The Dictator, where they, you know, spoofed, you know, going over and assassinating, you know.
That's what
So, and that whole thing kind of blew up and became a thing because it got banned and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I think people make things to make the world kind of like pay attention to how sometimes we get a little too boxy instead of living outside the box. I don't know. Yeah.
So think about it. This is an adult film. Please warn people about this. Let's not have a Deadpool fiasco. It might be a really good, really funny movie. Definitely don't bring your kids. That's all we're saying. Okay? Moving on. Last but not least, the remaking Ben-Hur.
So, honestly,
it's not interesting.
All right. The original was made in 1925. I just looked it up because I knew we were going to discuss this. And then in 1959 is the Charlton Heston, like, you know, film classic. And then jump another, 60 years-ish?
59, like, so...
Yeah. to where we are now, and they decided to remake it. Personally, I don't think it needed to be remade, but that's just me, because I don't need to see another goddamn Gladiator movie. I'm sorry. I'm over it.
Oh, yeah, Gladiator, we're done.
Okay.
I don't think this is quite Gladiator, because it's more about horse races, but it's Roman times, so.
I'm just sort of in the, how do I put it? I kind of want to see it only just because I like the, you know, to me, it's been long enough. You know, it's been 50, almost 60 years since the last one was put out. Granted, last one was really great and epic, but that was really great and epic 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I would want to know what they can do with it now. What could they bring to the table to make this story interesting and intriguing? And I think they're, from the trailer, they're doing a really good job of that. You know, you've got Morgan Freeman again. And I just, I would want to see it. I kind of want to see it. Like, just for the sake of, I like Gladiator. Like, you know, I love the story behind what they're putting into this story. And we'll see. I was a fan of Spartacus. Mm-hmm. The
TV show.
The original. Yeah, the TV show. What I could see of it. And I kind of want to see what they do with it. Given what we've seen in that, I want to see what they do here.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be. It could also be really, really bad. But I don't see that from the trailer.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in seeing it. And I don't think it's necessarily worn out from seeing Gladiator movies and old Roman stuff. It's just not piquing my interest. So, but it could be good. Check it out. See what you have. Again, go to youtube.com/cubsoutloud. Subscribe there while you're at it. And check out the playlist. It's the COL 368 trailers playlist. You can't miss it. Whole bunch of trailers. I think the icon on it when I pulled it up on my Apple TV was the start of the Civil War trailer. So check it out. So that is the summer movie blockbuster season. We're going a little long, so we're going to skip the porn. We're going to skip the links for this time around. And plus, Damon's on his phone, and we don't want to use all of his data. Playways to contact us, pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear you. It's 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You can see the number on our website as well. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Tumblr, cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus at google.com/+cubsoutloud. Join us in the Cubs Out Loud entourage on bearunderground.net, the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud. Please pop over to iTunes, rate us, review us if you would like. We would read those on the show. More who rate us, more will find us. Also, we're available on Google Play Podcast. Subscribe right there. I'm not sure if they've implemented the review thing yet. Also, if you listen to us on Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up there. You can find me anywhere on the internet as Box Set Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other. And also check out COL Gaming, the occasional show that I put up on our YouTube page. Damon, where can people find you?
I am ThatreCon 79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet, Growler, etc. Or you can find me as NomadCub79 or Pup_Umber on the Twitter. Gary?
I can be found as GareBear73 online, you know, most of those places, Bear Underground, Growler, Tumblr, Scruff, yeah, all that stuff.
With that, say goodnight, everybody!
Good night, everybody.
Music is playing. Just go with it.
Have a good one, y'all.